Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. We're looking at a article posted 21 hours ago that is so unhelpful. Published 21 hours ago. I don't know if that's the time that I looked at it and that changes, but today is June 3rd, 2012, and the time is 5:20 p.m. Eastern Time. Pastor Sean Harris coming to you from the East Coast, Fayetteville, North Carolina, with another News and Focus program. WND is the source of this article, New Bible Strips, God, Jesus, Angels, Believers Warned, Attuned to the Times, is Just Watered Down, by Michael Carl. Michael Carl is a veteran journalist with overseas military experience and experience as a political consultant. He's also a bivocational pastor. Interestingly enough, I received an email from a church member today about this new Bible, The Voice. So it seems most appropriate to be able to post a commentary on it and answer a question from a church member or a potential church member. A new Bible translation released by the Thomas Nelson changes the nouns for God, Jesus Christ, and angels to Eternal One, the Anointed One, and a messenger of God. But critics say the project that supposedly is, quote, attuned to the times, end quote, is just the gospel that's been watered down. The Voice translation, a joint project between Thomas Nelson, and Ecclesia Bible Society, was released this spring. The translation comes at the same time that critics contend Wycliffe Bible translators is changing the names for God and Jesus to appease a Muslim target audience. David Wells, a research professor at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary and member of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, said debates over Bible translations are nothing new. He continues, "This is actually an old debate," he explained. "Do you translate Scripture word for word or sense for sense?" Now, let me remind you, as a moment of commentary, word for word is what we often call formal equivalency or literal translation, or sense for sense, which is often referred to as a dynamic equivalency. The ESV, that's the English Standard Version, the King James, I'm adding, the New King James, I'm adding, is a word for word, i.e. what we would call literal translation. I can tell that the Ecclesia Bible Society Thomas Nelson Version is sense for sense. It is more of a paraphrase, like the old J.B. Phillips. Another example would be the Messenger, the Message. That would be another example of one of these paraphrases. Another one would be the New Living Translation. Wells continued, or the Living Bible. Wells continued, "That's okay if you read it like a paraphrase. But if you read it as a translation, it's not okay, because there's always commentary in the paraphrase. Commentary is okay if it is read as commentary, but it should not be read as the text itself." So this is Dr. David Wells giving us good instruction on the difference between a formal equivalency and a dynamic equivalency. Thomas Nelson gives its reason for the new translation on its website. "One of the byproducts of the information age in the church has been its focus on biblical knowledge. Many Bibles reflect this, packed with informative notes, charts, and graphs. While there's nothing wrong with having a deep knowledge, a personal connection, and deep relationship are far better. This is exemplified by Jesus' comment to Martha, 'Oh, Martha, Martha, you are so concerned about a million details, but really only one thing matters. Mary has chosen that one thing, and I won't take it away from her.'" Luke 10:41-42, The Voice. Okay, so this obviously is, and I say obviously, I think that's a better way of saying that, that this is a specific reference, although unnamed, to the ESV Study Bible, which is in fact packed with informative notes, charts, and graphs. Now, the difference between this and the ESV Study Bible is that you can clearly tell what is the text and what are notes. And what you're going to find in a paraphrase like The Voice is that the commentary or the interpretation has occurred in the translation. Whereas in a text like the ESV, when there is doubt as to what direction the text should go, what happens is a note is added to provide clarity. Whereas in the Voice, for example, the notes may be minimized because the clarity is created in the translation. Okay, the article continues. A theologian and biblical scholar who asked to remain nameless said the Nelson comment reveals a major social trend. The statement is right in line with a trend in current evangelism, a trend that says experience with the scripture is more important than actual knowledge of the scripture, the theologian said. Now, that's a mistake. Let's be sure. The unnamed theologian is absolutely correct to suggest that experience with scripture is more important than actual knowledge of scripture. The Bible says, "Thy word is I have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So we are to know the Word of God. An example of what Wells calls the sense for sense translation in The Voice is God's statement to the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 4, verse 6. The English Standard Version, the translation well cited, reads as follows: "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The same verse in The Voice reads as follows: "Your strength and prowess will not be enough to finish my temple, but my spirit will be." An example of the change in the names used for God and the emphasis placed on God's law is seen in Matthew 22:37-40, where Jesus is answering a question about the most important commandments. "And he," Jesus said to them, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The Voice version of the same set of verses reads as follow, Jesus quoting scripture: "Love the eternal one, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." Now again, he is the eternal one. There's no doubt about that. But we have to ask ourselves, as we look at this word Lord and eternal one, is that the best choice? Does that communicate what we want it to communicate? And the answer is no. And I will show you why. If you take your computer wherever you're at, unless you're driving, don't do this if you're driving, and you look up on a website like blueletterbible.org, www.blueletterbible.org, you type in the text Matthew 22, verse 37, click on the little C that says concordance so that you can see what Greek word is behind this word that the ESV renders Lord, L-O-R-D, and the same word that The Voice renders eternal one. We find that the word is kurios, the Greek word kurios. Let's listen to the Blue Letter Bible for a second.
Strong's G, 2962, kurios.
So there you have it. Okay, let's look at the definition of it. He to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding, master, lord. The possessor and disposer of the thing. The owner, the one who has control of the person, the master. The sovereign, prince, chief, Roman emperor, is a title of honor. I just don't think that we get that out of eternal one. You decide. But I don't think eternal one describes the same as lord. Another example is found from the scene where Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth, Luke 4:18-29. The English Standard Version renders, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Voice reads, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal One, is on me." Why? because the Eternal designated me to be his representative to the poor. Wow, that's the same. He sent me to tell those who are held captive that they can now be set free, and to tell the blind that they can now see. He sent me to liberate those held by oppression. In short, the Spirit is upon me to proclaim, now is the time. This is the year, the Jubilee of the Eternal One's grace. So Eternal One is Lord, it's gone. He sent me to proclaim. It's not the same. A second Christian ethicist and theologian who spoke on condition of anonymity said, the difference may not seem significant. It's subtle and gradual effect. Why is everyone speaking on with, I don't understand. Why not say your name? I don't know. Christians are correct in being concerned that versions like The Voice slowly contribute to a lessening reverence for the holiness of God, the theologian said. Evangelical culture analyst and publisher of the Christian-based movie guide, Ted Beyer, said he shares the concerns of those who believe The Voice will harm people's perception of the holiness of God. These translations are undermining the truth of Jesus Christ and his word written, he said. Beyer, who is also a leader in the Coalition on Revival, said there's a very basic fundamental debate going on within the evangelical community. There's a lot of theology going on here, as you well know, he said. That said, even if the translation captures some of the meaning of the terms, it is dreadfully watered down. C.S. Lewis once said that something like watered-down Christianity is nothing. Wells said the more likely motive for the new project is profit. Why did Nelson do this? My guess, pure guess, is dollar signs. His second, another likely reason is due to weakness in the present evangelical community. The Christian faith of the evangelical kind is somewhat distant from where it started out, even in the immediate post-war period, Wells said. The Bible doesn't make as much sense today in the evangelical world as it once did. Isn't that an irony? So to a new translation more attuned to the times. Was it T.S. Eliot who said, the less people read the Bible, the more they translate it? And there ends the article. So what do I do about these things like The Voice, The Message, the New Living Translation? You use them if you choose, just like you use a commentary. Nothing more. That's all. You need to know, is the Bible I'm reading a committed word-for-word literal translation? I'll give you four that I'm comfortable referencing. We preach from the King James in this church. We preach from the King James in this church, but I would be happy to study and look at the ESV, the NASB, that's the New American Standard Bible, and the New King James. I'm also willing to look at these other translations as a source of information, but I fully recognize that they are packed with interpretation during the translation process. And so I would never do serious Bible study from a paraphrase. I would never do serious memorization work from a paraphrase. I could not use it for any legitimate study of the Bible because of the interpretation that occurs during the translation process. Now, all translations have an element of interpretation, but is the translation committee to getting committed to as best as possible in the transition from Greek to English, a word-for-word translation, or are they willing to take it a step further and move to a sense-for-sense, that is, a dynamic equivalency? As long as we get the author's intent down pat, it really doesn't matter. And then even more specifically, in these translations like The Voice, it's very problematic when you find Eternal One replacing Lord. I'm not comfortable with that at all, and I hope you're not. Send me your thoughts, comments, questions at pastor@bbc@gmail.com. So it's pastoratbbc@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Hope you're in church. We're getting ready to broadcast live in 21 minutes.